The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Okay. All right. Now, it's Friday the 13th. You know what that means? Trouble. Now, Cooper has been having computer problems for the last 2.5 hours. Did you get them fixed, sir?
I had my eyelids for about 2 hours so I could be on late tonight here. But yeah, I had no problems here. The pictures are all up except that picture I sent you with the special offer on my... 3 books in the Hitler Escape trilogy.
Yeah, it's right there. It's been up there the whole time. It's the first link immediately below your name.
Oh, okay.
You can't miss it. There's 2 links below your name. One is for the photos. That's the second link. Mm-hmm. And the first link is the book special.
Okay. I guess I'm...
I sent you the whole page. Actually, I cut and pasted it. It's all there. Not to worry.
Okay. You're the expert, not me.
I'm no expert.
I'm scrolling down. There's your picture. There's Friday Harry photo. Oh, sensational new book offering. Hot dog.
How did you miss that? Or did it come in late? You know, sometimes browsers will screw up and they won't show you everything that's there.
So. Yeah, I know. These computers are not the be-all, end-all. Yep, there it is. So your people can... click on that super special or whatever it's called there.
Okay, right under Harry Cooper's name there are 2 links, 2 lines of text, little lines. The first one is the one you want to click on. It's the Hitler Escape Trilogy. Never offered before. This is the big one. This is really encapsulating history like no one has ever done before. This is the big trio. This is it. And there are a lot of people who are watching and drooling and can't wait to get the new book so they can steal everything they can get their hands on out of it.
Yeah, I'm afraid you're right. I know exactly that that's what's going to happen, especially this newest book, Hitler's Spy Web in South America.
Yeah.
Because none of that information has been published anywhere before, except some of it in the magazine of our organization, Shark Hunters. You've been a member for, since 2013, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But there's stuff that I haven't even published in that magazine, stuff that some of our agents had sent that we just posted the end game, but all the other stuff, it's all in there. And... So I'm throwing in one more little bit. The books, if they were bought separately, they'd be $25 a piece, which is $75. But your listeners can order all three books for only $50. Save $25 right there. And the shipping is normally $7 each, and that's $21 for the three books, but we'll ship all three for just $15. Unfortunately, it's in USA only. The reason we have to do that is in the USA, we put them in a shipping carton, we take them to the post office, we put stamps on them, and away they go. You ship them anywhere else, and it's a goat rodeo. Canada costs this much, Mexico costs that much, Thailand costs 10 times more, and you got to have customs decks. So we can't make this offer.
No, and that's not fun. For you ladies and gentlemen who live abroad, we have customs declarations that are not fun to fill out. It's really a stupid waste of time, accomplish nothing.
Give jobs for people who don't really qualify to do anything else. Here's the other part it's not up there, so I hope your listeners can remember. If anybody who buys this package, all three for for $50 plus $15 postage, we will also throw in a disc with a ton of pictures that we took during our various trips to South America. Free.
Oh, wow. All right. I didn't know that. This is
right,
good.
That's because the dummy that put this together forgot to put it on there, and that's guess who the dummy is. That'd be me.
Admiral Dummy. no, okay. Well, send me a little email, and I'll have that added to it, so it'll be up there. Disc. How many pictures on the disc? Like 100 or something?
At least 100.
Fun. Are they all captioned? Do we know what each one means?
No, they're not captioned yet. However, if you think I should caption them, I'll caption the damn things. But boy, oh boy.
I'd hold back.
Not caption them because they're pretty self-explanatory. And if somebody has a question about them, all they got to do is send me an email and say, hey, photo number so-and-so, what is it?
Right.
I don't have a hell of a lot of time right now. I'm putting three patrols together.
Can we do this?
Yes, sir.
Go to the patrols, I want to talk about the new book.
Okay, fire away.
I want to find out what angles are covered in the book that have been alluded to in the past or not alluded to in the past. And what this book is all about, Hitler's spy web in South America. And that's Skorzeny is on the cover with Mr. Hitler, and there's a very early prototype of a helicopter is what
that's
it is.
That's a helicopter, yeah.
Yeah. So tell me what the book is all about. What was the motivation for doing that book?
Oh, boy, the motivation for doing the book is just that it's stuff that had to be released. And I had been sitting on this for years and years and years, and I figured, well, it's time now, because I had been talking about the third book in the Hitler Escape trilogy, and I just felt it was time to put all this stuff out there. There are still a few things that I have not revealed and can't for a while for various reasons, but this... I'm running it up right now on my computer. I can read you the titles of the chapters.
Uh-huh.
Now, you've been getting some of them with the emails, but let's see here in the chapters. The first one is Argentina's Place in the War, and it tells you how it all came together. Chapter 2 is the Top Secret Delta Files. Now, this one is powerful. 25 years ago, there was a group in Germany headed up by my friend Pizarro to dig into the lost history that was being suppressed or lost or whatever, and they dug up with so much information on who escaped, how they escaped, and we had been sitting on this, like I say, since about 1995. And now that takes an entire chapter. Then we have unusual airplanes that is self-explanatory. Chapter 4 is Southern Spooks. We list a bunch of the spies and agents in South America and explain who they were, what they were doing. Tons of photos in these books. Chapter 5 is fairly simple. It's entitled Too Many U-Boats. We know that two U-boats surrendered in Mar del Plata after the war, U-530.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one, the incorrect, worthless so-called researchers claim Hitler escaped on, which is baloney.
Right.
And the other one is 977. When it came, and nobody had any ID on them. They got rid of all their paperwork, all their identification stuff. Everything was gone. So when it came time to repatriate these guys, they had enough men, U-boat men, to make three crews. So where'd that third boat go? Well, we talk about it in there. Then Chapter 6, we talk about what we learned on our Argentina patrol in 2009.
Yeah, that was the first visit to Inalco.
No, that was 2008. I went by myself, but 2009 I brought a group of about 10 people, and it's all there.
Great.
And that was when Inalco was a beautiful manor house. Now, as you'll see later in your program, boy, it looks terrible.
Well, we're going to bring it back. We're putting the energy out there, and somebody down there, there's an organization there that really needs to do this for history.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I hope they step in and do it. I think they will.
I hope so. We'll work on it.
Yeah.
Then Chapter 7 is the open freeway to escape. You know, everybody's talking about how everything was covered by the Allies. No. At the end of April 1945, there was a way to pull all the ships and planes off the Atlantic Ocean, and it was a wide open 500-mile or so wide swath down the oceans where there was no ships or planes, and it explains how and why. And some of the U-boats involved, the skippers were members of Shark Hunters and friends of mine.
Uh-huh.
And then the last chapter is all about Trindade, the international pit stop, I call it.
Yeah, great. Well, we've been able to look at that thanks to you and your trip out there and photos. And this is going to be a book that will wrap everything up. And there's still some things that you won't talk about. I don't know what they are, but I know Harry well enough to know that he has an area that is off limits to virtually everybody except the people who have shared the information with him. And that,
yep,
this will come out
yet.
This will come out in time,
right?
Because he's not going to take it with him whenever he goes.
And I ain't going.
That's right.
So if you read about my suicide, don't believe it, because I ain't going to do that. And killed in a car crash, no.
That would be the Spitlickers International News Service, right? Yeah. Flash.
Yeah.
No.
And I don't even know Bill and Hillary Clinton, so that'll keep me alive better.
That will. That's good for 20 years, easy.
Yep.
Now, Harry is an incredible wellspring of historical reality and knowledge and wisdom, but above all that, honor and integrity. And the people in this business of hunting Hitler, chasing Hitler, whatever Hitler, they're all in it for the money, and they're in it to control people's minds. They're still programming people. They're still throwing them off the track. And they're trying to cash in and make a few bucks. That's just their ethic. They want to make a few bucks. So.
And a comment to anybody out there right now who's thinking, why is Cooper doing it? He's making money. Well, no, I'm not.
Cooper's not making much money at all.
Make any money at all. Money that comes in for this goes to support Shark Hunters. I don't even get a salary. Nobody does.
You make ends meet, and that's called making money. You're keeping it afloat.
On my retirement, that's it.
Yeah, I send him $100 a month for food, so.
It must have got lost in the mail.
Well, anyway. No, it's not quite that bad. But this is an organization that is not in it for the money. It's in it to stay alive, to present history and reality to all who really care to know the truth. And you've done more than anybody on the planet in that regard. There's nobody that can touch you. So keep it up and congratulations.
Thank you. I do this 12 hours a day.
I know you do. It's all fueled by Entenmann's and bubble baths. That's what it is. That's the secret.
More or less, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So
all
now
right.
your listeners can go to that clip on your site and get all three of these books for just $50 plus $15 shipping, and they'll get that CD full of photos.
Can you? I just can't even imagine getting the images. We talked about that. I didn't know you did it. This is good.
Well,
you'll
we
be able
only
to
made
see.
The decision about 6 hours ago.
Uh-huh. Very smart. Send me the exact data. I'll put it up, and I'll put this up as a special banner on the homepage so people will see it. Three books
thank you.
And a CD. Oh, yeah. This is great. And I know you don't have the time, but if you have the time, a simple sentence with each photo wouldn't hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Just a short sentence.
Okay.
I mean, I know it's easy for me to say that, and I don't want to put any more work on you, but there are going to be people who will want a little bit of an idea.
Yeah.
Just a little nudge.
I waste a lot of time sleeping. Wednesday, I was up at 2 in the morning. I went till 10 o'clock at night. And then my daughter called at 1 o'clock in the morning. She had a problem she had to sort out, so I stayed up for another hour and a half after the phone call and did another page for our magazine. So I got to find a way to just stop wasting time sleeping.
I know.
Incidentally,
that's...
your listeners can get a free electronic copy of our magazine. Just send an email to us at sharkhunters@earthlink.net and say they want a free copy of the magazine. We'll send it to them by email, no strings attached. And if they like it, they can join Shark Hunters. If they don't, that's why
very
God
nice.
Made a delete key on the keyboard.
That's right. That's right. Do we have a photo of you standing next to the torch red Corvette? We need
no,
to have
but
that.
I got pictures of the Corvette. Usually I'm the one taking the pictures.
Yeah, well, get your wife to take one of you standing next to it just for fun.
That'd okay. Fun. In the next day or two.
That's your fun outlet to do. All right.
Yeah, I bought that way back in 2000, when I got a call from my doctor saying, hey, I was wrong. Your test came back. You don't have cancer after all.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God. I went out and I got this Corvette, and with some money manipulation, et cetera, I wound up getting it for free. And a buddy of mine helped me.
Jeez.
Yeah, he helped me repaint it. He used to own a body shop when he was in New York.
Nice fellow, and we lost him recently, I guess.
Yeah, I'm afraid so. He was such a great guy, but he just let himself go. He was up over 350, almost 400 pounds, and your heart doesn't really like to work that hard, and his quit on him about 2-3 months ago.
Yeah.
Big George, he was a great guy.
Yeah. Well, he left a lot of great Corvettes behind, that's for sure. How many coats of paint on yours?
Let's see, 6 coats of primer. No, 6 coats of gel coat, then 6 coats of primer, then 6 coats of torch red,
jeez.
Then 1.5 gallons of diamond clear.
Wow, you could shoot that with a .22 and it wouldn't touch it. That's amazing.
We got that done free because he had a friend who had a spray booth, and mm-hmm. his shooter asked if he could paint my car, and I told him, yeah, sure. And then he wouldn't let me pay him for it, so I bought him a pizza.
Good. It's all a matter of...
Nice people. We live in a nice community here.
It's all a matter of perspective. What year is the vet again?
81.
Very good. Now, that's... I saw a stingray the other day.
Yeah, that's earlier.
It was... I believe it was torch red. And it reminded me of yours, because whoever did it, I mean, it was such a deep, incredible red, and it had the diamond, it had to have diamond clear on it, whatever. It was gloriously clean. Beautiful car.
I'm restoring mine on the inside. It's in pretty good shape, but the carpet needs replacing, etc.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to have a guy do some pinstriping. I'll trade off some other stuff. I'll give him a free ad or something. We do it. You know, we barter. We trade with one another.
It's the way it ought to be.
Yeah.
All right. Now, for all of you listening, look under Harry's name. The second link under there, past the book link, is the photos of the new Argentina trip. And we're gonna take a look at those as we roll along here. So let's pull that link up. I'll do it with you. Photos of Argentina trip. Some of you probably already are ahead of me. And we've got them laid out, so they're kind of thumbnails, and you just click on them, and they'll magically become large. So we can start in the first line, Harry, at the top. I'm hopeful you can see them. Are you looking at them?
Oh, well, I've got them. Yep, you betcha.
Okay, good. All right, well, let's look at the first line.
Pretty great photos. I sure wish I was there. Oh, wait, I took these photos.
You did, indeed. Yeah. All right, let's look at photo number one, top line left.
And yeah, that, A1, yeah. 2, and 3. That's not a cathedral. That's a shopping mall.
Come on.
Honest to God, it's right around the corner from the hotel I use. And incidentally, we've got a tour we're putting together for February in Argentina, and this is in Buenos Aires, right around the hotel, the corner from the hotel where we stay. And we stay right at the Hollywood and Vine or the State and Madison of Buenos Aires. This is Cordova and Florida. Florida is only a walking street now, and it's got all the high buck stores, Dooney and Burke, and old Saks Fifth Avenue, whatever. My wife would understand all these things. I don't shop there. But I just put these in so that people could see, if they come with us, they'll see what they can get down, what kind of experience they'll have. And A1, 2, and 3, that's inside it's a three-story mall. Security, and it's in an upscale part. Nobody ever gets bothered or mugged in that area. I walk out on the street there 10, 11 o'clock at night, never have a problem.
One, two, so that it's not the Sistine Chapel, but it's pretty impressive. This is new art. That's a new construct, right? Or how old is this mall?
I don't know how old it is. It's in a section that's been pretty old, so I don't know how old the mall is. But
it's a three-story mall.
Yep. Inside of a big, huge building, Pacifica, Galleria Pacifica, that's what it's called. And I don't mean to rush, but I know we got a lot of photos here. You slow me down anytime you need me to.
No. We're going to go through this first break tonight. Our sponsors are very understanding when we do this once in a while.
Okay.
So
A4.
I'm going to look at A2. Just a minute.
Look at A2. Go ahead. Look at A2.
See, I have a hand, and I recommend this for everybody. Unless you're extraordinarily gifted with vision, get yourself a handheld 5-inch magnifying glass, because you can pull these pictures up much closer and much bigger, and it's very handy.
I cheat. I've got a large monitor.
No, that too. I think I have a, what is mine, 15 inches? That's it.
Okay, mine's 19-inch monitor, so pretty close.
Yeah. All right, number three. Yeah, I'm looking. Okay, all right, very good. That's a very classy-looking mall. I like
it. Fascinating. And you walk in the door, and there's fairly quickly inside the mall there's a perfume shop, and there's beautiful girls out there tastefully dressed and squirting you with perfume. And you go into the food court, which is huge, and they're giving away food samples. It's a great place.
What did you say? There are tasty girls standing outside of what?
No. Tastefully.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed that second syllable.
Yeah, it's okay. I have that problem sometimes, too.
All right. So it's all in the up and up. It's just it's a classy operation is what Harry's telling us.
It is. And Buenos Aires is called the Paris of the South. And it's just a beautiful beautiful city, and your Yankee dollar really kicks ass down there. Well, I checked yesterday, it was 27, almost 28 pesos to the dollar. They're in a real jam down there.
So they love to get Yankee dollars.
Love Yankee dollars. And their inflation now has slowed a bit. It used to be 44%. It's down to now 20%. But that's still incredibly horrible.
It is. Wow. No wonder. So if somebody were, after used furniture, the people down there would be very happy to sell. I understand. All right. Next picture.
Next picture, A4.
Number four. Now that, see, this is one of Harry's favorite kind of photos to take. All right.
I know you worry about my health.
I do.
That's a little individual lemon meringue pie and black tea. That's at the little corner cafe. I have to pass this from my hotel to that mall. Literally 50 paces outside the door of my hotel, you go by this place. And when I went there this time, I checked into my hotel and walked into this shop. Mm-hmm. And immediately the head waiter comes over. Oh, Senor Cooper, welcome back. And you want the lemon meringue pie and tea, right? Yep.
Wow. And that was on the way to breakfast, right?
Mm-hmm. No, that was after breakfast because the hotel serves a breakfast. Very nice breakfast. Scrambled eggs, sausage, bacon, all sorts. It's a continental breakfast type thing because the majority of Argentina, 80% of Argentina is derived from Western European culture, mostly German.
Hmm. All right. Well, it's a tasty looking little morsel there. It looks like a baked Alaska almost. Whoever cooked that is a very fine cook, a baker.
Yeah. And it comes with the tea and the lemon meringue pie. It comes to about $4 U.S.
Nice. Very nice. Okay. See how much fun we have here? If we only had, remember smell-o-vision in the movies?
Oh, God, yes.
They had
them in the movie theaters, yeah.
Too bad we don't have that here. All right. Now, okay, B1.
B1. We've already taken the plane from Buenos Aires to San Carlos de Bariloche, and this is the view outside our hotel, like in Buenos Aires. Also here in Bariloche, I stay in a hotel that's operated by the Argentine Navy, which is a very nice hotel and very reasonably priced. We look out the window. It's kind of foggy there, but we're looking right past the little building and the trees, and there's the lake, Lake Nahuapi, which is a huge lake.
I thought it was the ocean almost.
No, it's huge.
Yeah.
And then on the other side, you can see the beginning of the Andes. Beautiful area.
If it were clear, you would see the Andes on the other side.
Oh, absolutely. And we'll get into them later on in the presentation here. But that's just one of the views out the window. And B2 is inside the lounge area of the hotel. Very nice people.
Very good. Now tell us, let's stop here and talk about the next tour.
Right.
Because you're going there.
We're putting together a patrol, or we call them patrols, but it's tours. We're going to Buenos Aires for a few days. We see things that were historically connected to the Third Reich. The one restaurant where Mengele and Bormann used to meet, it's got great decor. It looks like you think you're in Bavaria inside that restaurant, except the food is not quite up to Bavarian standards. It's passable, but it's not Bavarian standards. The German club is still there.
The German club goes back to the 40s, right?
Oh, no, even before that.
30s.
Yeah, because there was a huge German population. So, and then we'd do some touristy things, go to Recoleta Cemetery and see the tomb where Evita is buried, entombed, I should say. And
in San Carlos de Bariloche?
Oh, no. I'm talking about the first few days.
We're in Buenos Aires,
yeah. Then we go to the oldest tango nightclub, Totoni's, where we have a nice dinner and watch a tango show. And there's a few other touristy things we do that have to do with the Third Reich history in Buenos Aires. Then we get on the plane and we come out here to Bariloche, and we stay in this hotel. And there's a few things we'll see around there. A bunker that's been blown up. I've got pictures of that on my website under previous tours. I don't have it here because I didn't go to that bunker here.
Who blew up a bunker in Bariloche?
Say again?
Who blew up a bunker in Bariloche and why?
The Army. The Argentine Army did in 1960. This was a bunker that was built towards the end of the war, and it was in a strategic place where if boats came past that point on their way to the estancia, well, the manor house where Hitler was living, they would notify the house. There was another one called the Saracen Tower, and we'll cross that bridge when we get further into this. But if you passed either point on your way to Hitler's estate, you
in
had
Alco.
To pass. In Alco. You had to pass either the Saracen Tower or the bunker, and they would immediately notify the estate, and they could take whatever precautions they had to do. But in 1960, the government directed the Argentine Army to blow it up as a training exercise, allegedly. I don't know why, but it's still there. We'll visit that. And then we'll go to visit, I always screw up the pronunciation, Huaymul Island, which is where some German atomic scientists built a nuclear research laboratory 2 years after the end of the war. And right across the water from that island, it's only a couple of hundred yards from that island to the closest shore, Juan Perón built his mountain troop training school. So the island was well protected. Right now it's abandoned, but we can go there. A good friend of mine down there is the former director of their Atomic Energy Commission, and so we have the green light.
Yeah, suggests that Germany was very well down the road with atomic energy development and took it to Argentina, and the Argentine government allowed them to establish a nuclear research laboratory there. And this goes along. There are a lot of stories about Germany and atomic bombs. I have stories from people who say that Germany did produce atomic bombs, and at the end of the war, there were half a dozen of them or several found in railroad cars, I believe in Czechoslovakia, for deployment
that,
along the front.
I don't know about that. But
I can't prove it or disprove it. It's just it's rumor. But the idea that Hitler was afraid to use them because he didn't want Germany flattened is the same reason he didn't use poison gas, they say.
Could be, although there's proof that the U.S. was going to use poison gas, but that's another whole episode. Yeah. But the stuff about the atomic energy down there, that's touched on in at least two of the three books that we talk about here. So we visit that, then we go around to Inalco, the estate where Hitler lived, and we'll see pictures of that in a little bit. And we also visit the farm. We will stay in the annex building to this house, which is still in good operating condition. We'll stay there, and they will outfit us with horses so we can go on horseback around the estate, which is pretty damn big.
Wow.
Yeah, 450 hectares.
You're telling me you're going to be able to take these people. I mean, I'm being rhetorical here, but the people on this tour patrol get to go and stay on the Mercedes Hitler estate. Right?
Yeah, right.
Wow.
Unprecedented. Hey, nobody else could.
No one else has ever done this.
No. Nope.
This is a first.
As a matter of fact, that comedy show, Hunting Hitler, they have had an action brought against them by the owner of Inalco because, according to the caretaker, they came in 2015, went all over the property filming without permission, And so the owner of the estate has brought an action against them in court.
Good.
Yeah, beyond that, I don't have any more information. But we'll be doing that. We'll be staying at that place, looking all around there. And there's so much more to be seen there. And the
That's
food is
incredible.
Great.
Yeah. Adolf Hitler and Eva Braun lived there for 10 years.
Right.
1945 to 55. You're going to get a chance to go live in the footsteps of history right after the war.
Right.
Wow.
So we'll be visiting that, and then we come back to Buenos Aires for a couple of days, just relaxing and going over our notes and stuff. It's still kind of in a state of flux, but it looks like it's going to be 10 days in Argentina total, and it'll be early February, which, believe me, is a whole lot better than going like I did last month. It's winter down there. Yeah. I froze my fanny.
Well, to be able to get on horses and ride that, what is it, hectare? I think it's like 2,700 acres or something or more.
Well, yeah, it's 450 hectares, which I'm told comes out to about 2,500 acres or something like that. I don't know. It's big, and it's in a forest. And when I was there last month, the caretaker, bless his heart, gave us full and unfettered access to everything. He opened up the houses. He opened up the gate to let us drive in. It's damn near a mile through the forest to get to the manor house. And he just said, here, it's all yours. And then he went away. He said, just lock up when you leave. So we were there the whole day.
Well, obviously your reputation preceded you, and he trusted you implicitly. That's extraordinary.
You know, I've been inside a lot of places. We never take anything except photos.
Right, right. Wow. Wow. Well, very good. All right, this is coming up for all of you, and we'll have more information about that. Let's get back to the pictures here now.
Back to the pictures.
All right.
Go to B3. That's a restaurant we stopped in Bariloche. And I posted this because up there on the wall there, you see currency notes from people that stopped there from every imaginable country.
Yeah, that's the top picture on the right on the first line. Okay, last one.
Yeah, and then the last one, B4, that is the end of Bambi's father. That's
first picture
stew.
Line two. For what?
Well, however, it lines out differently on different viewers. This is B4.
All right.
That's venison stew.
No.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I'm not a vegan.
All right.
It tasted pretty good.
Well, I'm sure.
Your listeners will be happy to know Hitler was a vegan.
He promoted vegetarianism.
Right. He also outlawed vivisection in Germany, which is the study of cutting animals open while they're alive without anesthetic to see how all the parts are working. He outlawed that.
And he was the first head of state to formulate the first national war on smoking. All right.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
I know he didn't like it. He didn't smoke.
No, there was a war on. There was a major campaign to stop smoking.
And it drove him nuts when Eva Braun was caught smoking. She liked to smoke, and she liked to sunbathe in the nude, and both of those upset him pretty good.
Right. Well, Mrs. Merkel has the same defect, I guess.
She doesn't look quite the same as Eva Braun.
No, not anymore.
No. She did. Yeah, you got that picture I sent of her when she was 18. She was not a bad-looking lady.
Yeah. Okay.
Moving along.
B4. Next is, maybe we'll, is it B5?
Well, C1 and 2.
Okay, C1.
C1 and C2, they're both the same. We went in, this is Bariloche.
Uh-huh.
We went into the section known as the Belgrano section, which is almost entirely German. And we've shown photos on your show before, and also I've got them posted on my website, where they used to, maybe they still do, I can't disclose that. They celebrate Hitler's birthday on the 20th of April. And they have Hitler's picture and a big swastika flag. I don't know if they still do it, but they did it up to a few years ago, I know.
It is written about me online that I do that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I celebrate it on the program and on every other way. That's right.
I remember seeing in the Spittler that says, you and I go on the radio to celebrate his birthday.
Oh, yeah.
I was never on your show on the 20th of April.
No. No.
You mean the Spitlickers lie? Oh, my goodness. Yeah, they said I'm a neo-Nazi and that I'm a Republican, which is probably the same to them, but I'm not a Nazi.
Well, as we know now, if we study international geopolitics, Ukraine is full-blown Nazi, according to the Western press. And now we find out that the Israelis are selling the Ukrainian Nazis armaments. So there's a buck or two involved. Ethics go out the window.
Unfortunately, it seems that way, yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah. Okay, C3 or not C3. All right.
Yeah, C3. That is a hotel. I can't remember the name of it, but it's named the Bell in Spanish. But I don't know what that word is in Spanish.
Well, it's Die Glocke in...
Well, in German, yeah, Die Glocke is the bell, but this was in Spanish, and it's six or seven letters long. Anyhow, this hotel was managed by a guy named Rainer Kopf, K-O-P-S, but he was using the name Juan Mahler. And when Sam Donaldson, the guy with the fiberglass hair, he came down there, and it was this guy, Rainer Kopf, otherwise known as Juan Mahler, that he was after. So when he got there, Kopf says, "You don't want me. Here's a much bigger fish," and he pointed him towards Erich Priebke.
He ratted Priebke out.
For lack of a better term, yep.
Wow. Well, that hotel, you can see the beamwork coming out. That's Bavarian-style architecture.
Right.
Under the eaves.
It's no longer used as a hotel. The rooms have all been leased out for various different office spaces.
Mm-hmm.
And I found, later on we'll see pictures of the Club Andino, I found a girl there whose boyfriend was the grandson of Juan Mahler. And so we tried to connect there in Bariloche, but our schedules always were, we were at the other end of wherever.
Uh-huh.
And he had a lot of things he was going to show me, but now he's gone over to Germany for work. And so I'm going to try to connect with him when I am in Bavaria or when he's back here in Bariloche later on.
So you have three patrol tours coming up. Three.
Right. Right.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm kind of dancing on all of those. It's not as easy. People just think, oh, you make reservations, you take the money, and you go buy yourself a new Lamborghini.
No.
You're right. And even when you think you got stuff going well, somebody will send you an email. Oh, by the way, my wife decided not to come along. She's going to go visit her Aunt Matilda, so apply her deposit to this, and by the way, I'm going to show up a day early, or another guy will tell you, oh, I'm going to be late, or, you know, it's just
it's crazy. I don't know how
but
you
I do it because everybody loves it, and this is our last Southern Patrol, the last one we're ever going to do. The first one was 1990, and this is the last one, and your listeners can go to sharkhunters.com, and it's all spelled out there under tours. And if they need our phone number and our email is there, they can call any old time. Well, not any old time. Not in the middle of the night. Call it during working hours.
Harry has 4 hours of sleep at night, so let him rest.
I know. Yeah.
All right. Now this, okay, we're at C4.
Now we go to C4.
Is this a Corvette show?
No, those are
C3,
not
C4?
Corvettes there. I don't know what they are, but they're just little cars. But that building...
No, it was a joke. C3, C4, C5.
Oh, jeez. Okay. Hey, it's late in the evening.
All right.
I'm not as smart as I should be. Anyhow, that is where Erich Priebke lived. He had the upper two floors. The ground floor was his store. He had a butcher shop.
C4?
Now, yeah, C4. That's where Erich Priebke lived.
Uh-huh.
He was a member of Shark Hunters. And the last time I went there with a group, his son joined us for dinner. Very nice, very intelligent guy. We went to dinner, and he was carrying on a conversation with me in English, with my guide in Argentine Spanish, which is different than normal Spanish, and with two German guys in German at the same time. Yeah. This guy never missed a beat. He was he was talking to them in German, to me in English, to the guide in Spanish.
Yeah.
Very intelligent man.
Mm-hmm.
But this building now is a multifunction medical center. There's an OB-GYN there. There's a dentist there. There's all each room is for a different part of the hotel.
So
it's the building.
It's a clinic, a medical.
That's the word.
Okay.
It's late.
Steve, you're doing great. C5. All right, now C6. No, D1.
Yeah, D1, 2, and 3. When Priebke was there early on after the war, he took over the German school. Now, D1, if you look close, you'll see the black German eagle on the side of the building, just above that white truck.
Yeah.
And then D2 is a close-up of the German eagle, and D3 is the main entrance. They were all friendly with us and everything until I told them that I wanted to come inside and film because Priebke had been the headmaster. Oh, boy, the door shut so quick. No, don't come in. Goodbye. Mm-hmm. Have a nice day. Don't let the door hit you in the ass.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they, the all sorts of young students. I think it's a junior high. And these are all German, ethnic German kids dressed like you would find them in Bavaria. And they're all learning the German cultures, German language.
Wow.
In their school, yeah.
Well, see, that's something that kind of a cultural ethos that you don't find anymore.
No, you're not supposed to like your heritage.
No, not anymore.
Yeah,
the Institute, the Primo Capraro Instituto.
I have no idea what that means. Like I say, I know.
It's the German school of Bariloche, all right? And that's pretty neat. Pretty neat.
Yeah, it's a pretty big one. It stretches about a half a block one direction by a block long the other direction, and it's, what, three stories high. It's a pretty big operation.
Now, the German people are not about to lose their heritage and culture, no matter what.
Well, not down there in South America.
No.
But, no, the German people are very proud people. They got a great heritage, and God bless them for hanging on to it like this.
That's right. Okay. E1.
Right. E1, E2, and E3, all the same thing. That's a building where Mengele and Eichmann and several others used to use as a meeting place. And so E2 is their address with some graffiti.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it says, but probably isn't anything polite.
This is still on the Belgrano area.
In the Belgrano section, yeah.
Yeah.
And then E3 is the front door. It is now a yoga center.
Oh, that's funny.
So we didn't go inside because I didn't bring my yoga mat with me. And I wouldn't know what to do with it in the first place.
Well, look at the timbering, huh?
Just more that's a local wood. And boy, boy, it's solid. It's hard. It's a hard wood. And it's heavy.
You could make a table with that stuff, I'll bet.
Yeah, it would be a damn big heavy table, though.
Yeah. All right. let's see here. All right. F1.
F1 is the billboard outside the famous Club Andino. Andino is something to do with Andes. It's a, if you look at the bulletin board there, it's a ski school, ski club, etc. And this was founded by a guy named Otto Mehling, M-E-H-L-I-N-G, in the early 30s. This was one tough son of a gun. He built his own little cabin, which he called the Berghof, which means basically a bachelor's cabin in the mountains.
Uh-huh.
He built it himself on the side of a mountain, and he carried all the wood up the mountain, climbing up the mountain, not roads. He had no roads at that time. He climbed the mountain with all the boards and stuff strapped to his back.
Gee.
One
and this
tough
is,
guy.
This is what, across the lake, up the Andes?
Mm-hmm. It's that's correct. It's on. It's called now Cerro Alto, which means Otto's Mountain. And he put together, well, the Club Andino at that time was a home for German agents, spies, etc. Now it's just a ski school and ski club.
So you can go
he
skiing.
Organized,
go ahead. No, you go ahead.
Okay, he organized a ring of locations around the lake, Nahuelwapi, observation posts, which went on well into the 50s when Hitler was living there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, like I said, just a ski school, but it's got a huge heritage. 1931 or 32, I think it was founded. I'm not sure, but it was founded a long time ago, many moons.
And how long does it take to get to the ski slopes from there? How do you get there? Drive?
Oh, it's not far at all. Bariloche is in the foothills of the Andes.
Uh-huh.
So half an hour in your car, you're into some serious mountains.
Wow. Okay.
Beautiful.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Scorzini used to go there to go skiing after the war was over. And Rudel, Hans Ulrich Rudel, the one-legged fighter pilot, dive bomber pilot, we've seen pictures of them skiing up there in the Andes.
Amazing.
Yeah. Well, right. And with Scorzini, that was one tough guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. Hold on a minute. We have to take a little bit of a break. We'll come right back and look at more pictures with Harry and talk about the upcoming three tours, including one that will allow you next February to actually stay on the estate that Hitler and Eva Braun lived in for 10 years.
Yep.
Top secret in a deal made at the highest levels of the Western governments, right? The exchange was for what? What was the exchange for? All of you, you know what it is. Science.
Science, yeah.
Operation quo. Operation Paperclip.
And, Paperclip was a huge part of it, yeah.
Yeah.
And there was much more, which is all in these books.
Right. Very good. Back in a minute. Hold on, and we shall continue.